probably talk about plans for SOCC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I know that you did something on the day after the SOSP deadline, and I don't know if you have made other changes.
Very minor changes. I was just looking at it and thinking what to do to wrap it up.
Mm.
So I marked, if you open it, I marked few of the things in the experiment section,
mm-hmm.
which needs to be done quickly.
Okay. Okay, so you did change these lines, yeah. Now it's
more visible, huh?
Yeah, now we can actually see some of those lines.
I was thinking about the postmark. I mean, it's just easier to discard those conflicting points and mention it somewhere.
I see.
I mean, if we try to show it on the graph and try to make a justification for why is that the case, the accuracy is not correct, it would be a bit complicated.
Well, if our stand is that the inaccuracy is because of this unequal behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there is more initialization and other times there is more transactions maybe.
Mm-hmm.
If that's true, then maybe postmark is, you know, and we cannot deal with that inaccuracy, then maybe postmark is not the right workload to be looking at anyway. So we can present the results, but then explain why the inaccuracies exist, or we can choose workloads that are more appropriately behaving, right? Like, I don't know, you had one more that was TPCC.
TPCC is not an option for here. TPCC is even complicated.
Mm.
Just the benchmark itself.
But at least it will have deterministic behavior as you change.
It's not a viable option either. Because TPCC.
Okay, so if there are two completely separate problems, so TPCC
and this is two separate problems.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing I can do is that there is a version of FileBench,
mm-hmm.
which is similar to what postmark does.
Okay,
exactly what postmark does.
Oh, but it also has that initialization.
No,
phase.
FileBench typically it first creates a data set and then makes the transactions.
Isn't that what postmark does too? Create the data set and then make the transaction.
No, in FileBench you can create the data set beforehand.
That's important to know. Okay. So that's the difference. Okay, so maybe we can replace postmark with that other variant of FileBench. That could be a possibility. Because it seems like with postmark we are then we run the same bench, same workload with different resources, we are actually not running the same workload.
Yes.
That's the main problem.
Mm-hmm.
And in typical web applications, you don't have that kind of weirdness. Right? So, like I said, we have two options. We could present the results with postmark and say, okay, here's the problem. And that in real workloads, we won't have this. Then the reader might question, well, why bother to evaluate with postmark? Because you're not gaining anything.
Yeah, why not pick another one?
Yeah, so I think the option that makes more sense is to choose another workload that behaves more realistically, right?
Okay.
So that could be the FileBench third variant, because we already have two FileBench workloads, right?
Yeah, web server and OLTP.
Right. And so that's another question here is that the argument for why multi-resolution modeling doesn't work here.
Yeah.
Like, is that just a qualitative argument or also, or there is some data to support it?
There is some data that I want to put it as a table. Like I'm doing what I was coaching, suggesting on that line. So I'll be doing clustering on the errors. And I'll make some standardization. So I'll make a threshold. So I will argue that if there are more than overlaps of 15% or 10%, I want to go with that cluster. I will discard the clustering in those cases.
Okay.
And I will show that in multi-resolution, actually, the clusters have more than 15%, some cases 25%, 50% overlap.
Right. So that to me is only part of the story, right, that there is overlap. Now, you also have to show that overlap is not good. So what happens if you with that kind of overlap, you still go ahead and create a multi-resolution model? What would happen? And I think the reader would be curious about that, right?
Higgins said if it's that too much overlap, you cannot make a formula you cannot make a cluster boundary or a definite cluster boundary.
But you said that the clusters have overlap, which means the clusters are defined, and then
clusters are defined by the errors. But the thing is that the inputs are completely different.
I thought you were clustering based on output value. Is that not true?
In multi-resolution, we are clustering
on error. Okay. So what you're saying is that the errors are not, there is no collocation of errors?
Collocation of errors. What I can do is two things. For example, in when I describe the modeling of multi-resolution, I pick up specifically rubies. So I showed a graph where the errors have definite, it's before. It's in when I introduce the multi-resolution. It's in section 4. This here. So there I show that the errors have a specific location, the high errors. We can show some percentage, let's say more than 15% errors are located on this boundary.
Well, this tells me that there are lots of errors here also.
Yeah, but on the absolute scale, the high errors are on the lower side.
I see. And on the x-axis, it's also sorted according to input parameter values or?
No, it's output values.
Right.
But if you sort by output, it corresponds to some input.
I think that message, is it there somewhere in the paper?
Not clearly. I was checking, it's not very clear. That output has, because sorted output has some, even if you're doing output-based clustering, we have to somehow clear that output has a correspondence with the inputs.
And we have to show that for all the benchmarks.
Yeah, or at least state it.
State it with some numbers.
Okay.
Maybe have a, I don't know how we can do this. How can we do this? I think it's kind of obvious, or I shouldn't say obvious, it's somewhat intuitive.
Not obvious though.
Yeah, not obvious, I think.
For example, memory CPU you can think, but thing is that you're multidimensional. So you're increasing one dimension, you may be very high, or you're decreasing one dimension, you can be very low. So because it's multidimensional, it's not very obvious that how the increasing input should correspond to increasing outputs.
I think that's true, and given the fact that we are using that idea, we have to justify it. I think we have to do that in the paper somehow. I'm just trying to think what is a good way to do that. And the problem is that you can have a total ordering of the output points. But how do you have a total ordering of the input points? Because when memory is high and CPU is low, is that absolutely greater than when memory is low and CPU is high. You see, because there are multiple dimensions, you cannot monotonically increase in each dimension, right?
Yes.
But maybe you could.
But according to my clusters, you can define some boundary easily based on inputs. Some increasing, some decreasing.
Yeah, so think about that. I mean, how do we substantiate this built-in assumption?
Theoretically, it's not obvious. Theoretically, it may be possible that we may get contradictory results, but experimental data we collected, we can, based on the experimental data, we can do some boundaries.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, the data that we present that doesn't have to be absolutely following that assumption, but even if it follows mostly, it's still good enough, I think. I mean, first of all, the observation is intuitive, right? Some people may have, okay, what about this special case when this happens and that happens? And it would be good to actually point out those special cases ourselves than to have a reviewer come back and say, okay, what about this, this, and this? So think about how you can substantiate that assumption that we are building into all our, all our thinking in this paper, right? So that's, I think that's important. Okay.
And if I can show that, I think that also tied up everything. That
Yeah.
also explains why we can do clustering also. If we can
Yeah.
do that, we don't need repetitive
Correct,
data.
because we are clustering based on output points and then mapping it to input.
Mapping it to input.
And we're assuming that can be done, but we don't present the data that it is actually, feasible to do something like
And
that.
when it can be done, we can do clustering. If there are no case, can be some for benchmark, it cannot be done. Then we have to say that if that kind of thing cannot be done, let's say for multi-resolution for rubies, we do clustering or error. We can show the same kind of thing that, okay, inputs have overlapped, so this is not possible in multi-resolution for other benchmarks. So the same kind of representation would tie up everything.
Oh, so when you say inputs have overlaps, in which cases? Just give me one example, for instance, so that I can make this more concrete in my mind. So,
In multi-resolution for file benchmarks, file bench family of benchmarks.
okay, so what's happening? So, but our observation here is about mapping output to input, right? And then there is a clear mapping. But in the file bench, you're talking about errors, clustering on errors.
Clustering errors.
But here we are, this observation is related to clustering on the output data points, right?
Yeah.
So is it, in some cases, is it possible that when you cluster, if there are very clear clusters, as when you sort the output points on the output values, they do not map very well to the input? Are there instances when that happens? Mapping from output to input, that when there are some ambiguous mappings, is it possible?
No, I can't. I able
So
to
that
differentiate
happens in
boundary.
all cases.
Yeah, output-based clustering you can do in all cases.
Okay, so then what you are thinking maybe is something else, and where the overlaps exist.
That's for the multi-resolution I'm thinking. How do I represent the multi-resolution?
I see that as a different point altogether, right? This
Okay.
point is the assumption that we are building in, which is output can be mapped cleanly to input.
Okay.
So we should separate that out. And then there is this
Okay.
other
Okay.
discussion
Okay.
with the overlapping of the errors.
Okay.
There, what you're saying is that errors do not map cleanly to the output parameters values, and therefore, or directly to the input parameter values, right? For some benchmarks. And in that case, we cannot do this error-based clustering and building
error-based multi-resolution. Yeah.
Error-based multi-resolution. So I see that as a different point, as a separate point, which
okay.
also we should bring up, right?
Okay.
And that's important to bring up to show, okay, why are we not using multi-resolution modeling for these three workloads? I mean, this may be different, but these two at least, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we not using it there? Because one question a reader might have is, well, why don't you just do it and show me the results, right?
Okay.
Right.
So that is the why we cannot do it.
Why we cannot do it at all, right? And that's the claim, that it just cannot be done because the way we've defined the multi-resolution modeling does not allow us to use it for these workloads. And here's why, right? So that would be important to show. Okay, so... Yeah, so this, I guess, would change with something else.
Mm-hmm.
So you said that there are some notes you made somewhere in the paper?
Yeah, like this sensitivity analysis or modeling over it. Very little note, like which are the things to be done.
Okay, so this sensitivity analysis is something that you will do.
That I made in the graph, that I pointed out that graph needs to be replaced.
Yeah, this needs to be replaced with the new benchmarks
plus
the new modeling techniques
plus the sub modeling.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what about that choice of the training set, the ratio, the 40%, 60% and 80%? I know we had some discussions there, right, how we could pick partial data to do training in
yeah.
a more
I do in a more intelligent way.
Yeah, more representative way. Instead of just spreading it across the entire space.
Yeah, or just picking randomly.
Yeah, or picking randomly. Well, you could show that too. I mean, you could show that too, that, okay, here's what happens when you spread it out uniformly, here's what happens when you do it randomly, and here's what happens when you do it more in a more representative fashion, right? And that would add some value to the paper too. And that might make this entire exercise worth it because you're maximizing the gains from that effort, right? Because you have some additional things that you can show here.
Okay.
So think about that. Yeah, this is kind of odd. I don't know if you can put something here to, I guess this is fine for now, but this will change. I mean, postmark will be gone, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The distribution of errors. So I guess the question here is, what is this telling us, this distribution of errors? One thing is that the errors are concentrated, right?
Mm-hmm.
But do we also, I mean, is this a sub-modeling?
Yeah.
Is it sub-modeling?
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see what happens with the multi-resolution modeling. My guess is that the error distribution will be more spread out because a multi-resolution model will build a separate model for this range.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what is going to happen, but it seems like there is some indication that the errors will be distributed more because this for what? Ruby's browsing, right?
Yeah.
Ruby's bidding. Right, so if you look at Ruby's bidding,
the 90% error is smaller.
90 percentile error for sub-modeling
is 25 over 31.
25 over 30. So what does that tell me? That
there could be some little, those some of the black in here would be gone, one or two.
Could be, yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's 27% or more is the black.
Black,
right?
One, yeah.
Some blacks will be gone from here, but if you look at the average numbers,
average number is not that different.
Average number, in fact, the multi-resolution is higher.
Yes.
So to make up for the loss of the black, there should be more gray showing up elsewhere.
Should be.
So it would be interesting to show that and show the
contrast
and why submodeling, you know, what is the property of submodeling and what is the advantages of multi-resolution modeling. Multi-resolution modeling, you have maybe a better control on your maximum error with workloads like this.
Mm-hmm.
With submodeling, maybe you have lesser errors in most of the areas, but the errors get concentrated in some parts. So those are the kinds of interesting things that you can talk about.
Okay.
Right, to make the paper more interesting. Okay, so you could think about that. What else? Okay, so there is this discussion on online modeling in the discussion section. So what do we do with that? So there, I guess we have to tie that into this guy right here, the modeling time.
Yeah.
So the responsiveness of the system is tens of seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So if you create a new model and, I mean, actually changing the control knobs is not high latency, right? You can do that maybe in the span of milliseconds.
Yeah.
Because you need to schedule to DOM 0 and then that command gets executed.
Yeah.
So the dominant cost is just the training of the model itself.
Training of the model, yeah.
So the question that we need to address that is here, I mean, the one thing is that the responsiveness of the modeling approach, right? How quickly we create models. And the second also is the other concern with building models incrementally, which we do not really address in this paper, right? So I think we need to specify that as future work.
Hmm.
It would be good to find out if there are models that can be incrementally tuned more faster. So instead of doing it all over again and taking up, I don't know, 1 minute, if you just have some additional data points, can you change the model quickly in response to that few additional data points? Is something like that possible with the packages that you're using? Or with some other incremental training packages.
Mm.
It's a different problem. Anyway, so that's the kind of discussion that needs to go in this, the last paragraph of this section 6. Okay. Okay, so what else is there?
There's some minor comments need to be fixed in section 4 and background related work section.
Okay, so the reminders, I would recommend that you work on these quickly so that...
For the reminders? Okay.
Yeah, because they're probably easier to address
yeah.
than actually yeah. collecting all the data. So shortest job first.
Okay.
Right, whatever can be done quickly, do that first. And I think that we talked about some changing the introduction as well. So do you remember what was the discussion?
Discussion was to show the benefits of doing it again
over the previous work. Highlight that.
In terms of, Kaushik said in terms of numbers, but I didn't do evaluation with our previous effort.
But we had that discussion, right? I mean, the global model, isn't it the previous technique? I mean, isn't the global model what we did before?
It was with CDIOps. Now we changed it to VMDL.
Okay.
No, it's not that.
Hmm. Okay.
But this submission is going to be single blinded.
Which one? The SOCC?
SOCC.
Mm-hmm.
So we can, instead of doing quantitative, we can show some intuitive comments. Just the one we are resorting to in our using analytic versions.
Yeah, that makes this thing a lot easier, I agree. Okay, so let's do the following. Why don't you start by addressing the reminders?
Okay.
And so that people get interested in spending time on this paper. And we'll have at least a couple of rounds of revising the introduction.
Yes, several things in switching is that because now it's single blinded, we have to defend it in a different way.
Yeah. And about this SOCC, you're sure it's single blind, right?
I emailed the chair.
Okay.
The Amar El Awadhi.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he replied it single blind.
Okay. And
but the formatting needs to be changed because it's in different format.
Okay.
It's sig pos or something.
Pods?
SIGPS, something like that.
Ops. SIGOPS.
SIGOPS, yeah.
Okay. Okay, so
probably it will reduce the number of pages a little bit. I think it's a little
But what is the limit?
12 pages.
Okay, well, we are at 14, I think, right?
Yeah, we have to somehow discard the discussion on CDR's latency somehow, a little bit.
Yeah.
Because now it's our own work, we don't have to be that critical.
Okay, well, all right, so we need to revisit section 1 as well as that section
2.
I guess
section 3.
Section 3, yeah. Right, section 3. Right. Yeah, this is quite lengthy actually at this point. In fact,
this is definitely needs to be removed. I don't see any point showing that.
Yeah, just comment it out, I guess, for now.
Yeah.
If a reviewer comes back and says, well, what about this, then we'll have to address it possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yeah, fix the comments and reminders in sections 3, 4.
It's before 5, actually.
Yeah,
just
sections 3 and 4. There are
yeah.
several reminders. So. Okay, so why don't you work on those and then we can do revisions on introduction.
Okay.
Yeah? And after you're done with the reminders, then you can move on to the evaluation section and do the things
I'll
that we discussed today.
I'll also change the formatting of the paper
yeah.
with the new
Yeah, rules. Please do, yes. Okay, so we had two weeks, I guess. 2 weeks
two
or less?
2 weeks.
Two weeks. Today is 25th or something,
24th. I'll try to finish it by next week.
Okay, let's try to do that. I mean, in the latest, we have to finish before you leave.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Okay.